two, three, four. When you sit on the train, are you hit by the way that the city lights surround you? Late at night when you ride, do you look outside? Do you see it bright like I do? All the people, the places, the city faces, they all take me in. All around, all the lost, all the found, all the everything and every instant.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Michael.
And this is Kevin.
And welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions. Now, Kevin, there's a lot of great bands in Chicago, obviously.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I stumbled across this great chiptune band, which you don't really see a lot of in the city of Chicago. Welcome to the show, I Fight Dragons. What's going on, guys?
Hey,
thank
hey.
You.
Hey,
thanks
hey.
For having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You've got your first show in a little bit happening on December 30th at Lincoln Hall in Chicago. What's going on with that? Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah,
welcome
yeah.
back to the team.
Thank you. Thank you. We've been in, you know, in our collective Bat Cave.
Yeah.
And fell asleep in the Bat Cave. It's sort of a Rip Van Winkle situation. Batman Rip Van Winkle. It's an interesting crossover special. But
Batman Winkle?
Batman Winkle. One of my favorite Adam West episodes.
He had to get the mask modified.
Such a weird concept.
So, for sleep apnea? Or?
So you were on a bit of a hiatus, kind of?
Yeah. I mean, not so. We were just actually talking before. So we had done our last album, The Near Future. We had done a Kickstarter to raise money for it, and then it ended up being kind of a two-year saga for us to complete it, kind of culminating in a big show at Lincoln Hall to release it, which sure. was actually our last big show there. And yeah, we were definitely kind of worn out, and it took a little while to recuperate. But we've been, you know, working on some new stuff, got some new songs, and hopefully some plans for the new year as well.
Awesome. And you know, that song that you played before, the Chicago song, is that kind of a newer song that you're going to be showcasing at the show?
We'll be playing that one for sure. But this, yeah. Yeah, that's on the near future. So mm-hmm. that's the latest record.
That's got like My City Ballad written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Nice. I can see that playing at Maggie Daly Park in the next few years.
Maybe. Nice. So let's talk about the hiatus. So you said it was a Kickstarter campaign, but then we kind of brought up off of the air, if you will, life, balancing life and
sure.
passions at the same time. So was that kind of an aspect of it too, a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so, you know, our story is very typical in the, you know, the good old, we did the label thing for a few years and had the, like, almost stereotypical, would you say?
It was the same story that you could tell the story and you don't even know
it.
You
could change out the band name.
It was the kind of thing that going into it, for me at least, getting into the major label, big, bad industry ringer, I was like, I know how the story's going to go, but I feel like I need to live it for myself. I feel like it's the rite of passage,
sure.
The rock and roll rite of passage to go through that struggle, and that with its successes and with its joys.
We got to do a lot of cool things.
Gigantic life moments.
Cool tours. Yeah, big life moments. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, so coming then off of that, was when we did the Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and as much as that was a great success, there's a reason that. You're not supposed to just give the band a pile of money. They don't know what to do with it. So because we just kept piling it into more crazy we would do.
What are you talking about? Van Halen had a pile of money and they turned out fine. There were no disputes or anything like that.
Well, and ironically, the funny thing is we didn't even keep a dollar. Like, quite the opposite. We ended up way overspending somehow.
It's easier if the pile of money is followed up with an equally large pile of cocaine, which we did not raise on Kickstarter.
No, they don't.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't think they have a PayPal for that yet. And so put it in your account.
On the bright side, though, this vinyl is so souped up. Like, it'll tell you the weather outside. You have it shut your lights off when you leave and when you're coming back and be like, album, turn lights on.
Yeah, we made this like ridiculously crazy triple gatefold thing with a graphic novel that comes with it and all this stuff.
And poster.
The poster.
Yeah, it's really,
like,
really epic glow packaging.
And the fluorescent mixed vinyl, like 180 gram.
Now, had you guys done vinyl before?
No, this is our first.
And it was so obnoxious what we did with the vinyl that the pressing plant doesn't even offer the option that we took on anymore. Because they're like, this is too ridiculous.
So we'll talk about that. Because I've pressed vinyl myself before, too. And I've learned, like, going through that process, you kind of have to write to vinyl. Like, you can't squeeze too much music on one side.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Were you guys able, like, you had to find that balance?
It was a consideration we had to take because we knew that we were going to be pressing it on vinyl.
Yeah.
So the first half of the record is it's a song cycle. It's a Rush 2112-esque full side length kind of song cycle story thing. And we did have to kind of keep in mind the restrictions, you know, 19 to 22 minutes tops on a side kind of thing, and how we wanted to make that all connect. And that definitely influenced some of our decisions, for sure. So,
absolutely. Yeah, you know, we're here with Packy, Brian, and Hari
from
I Fight Dragons.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
These schmoes.
Well, the collective
group,
ding.
I Fight Dragons. Do the ding. Ding.
It's like a really lame... Ba-doom-tch.
You should do that to interrupt me anytime I start getting too technical about vinyl cutting.
No, that's good. We like it.
That's, vinyl actually has a good thread through a lot of our shows here on Sound Sessions. Yeah. What do you guys think about the resurgence of vinyl? Why is this like a new thing that's happening with music? I mean, it's not by any means new, but you see a lot of these bands that are focusing on their vinyl albums. And yet... You know, is it becoming more of a collection piece, or do you think the people are just finding their love for it again?
It started with the idea that we want to make this vinyl where the, you know, first side is sort of a song cycle designed to be the length of a side of vinyl and all this stuff. But I tend to think that now that music is fully digital in so many ways, it's sort of it's untethered the idea that the physical experience has to be connected to the digital experience, because you know, with a CD you kind of had the worst of both worlds in that you've got this little sort of dinky thing, there's not really any room for artwork, so it's still got you know, all that, but and it could still also get scratched and like you could break it and lose it and all this stuff. So it's sort of like, once you don't have to worry about the physical medium being portable or any of that stuff, you can actually choose kind of any physical medium you want. And I tend to think that there's a certain mental experience that goes along with being locked into listening to something. So like, whether it's, and plenty of people will still, you know, obviously switch a record in the middle, but there's something about the fact that the default is I'm putting on a side of vinyl. Most people are going to just let it play through that, at least that side, right? And maybe you flip it or maybe you don't, but it changes the way I think it settles some of the like FOMO in the mind that afflicts so many people when they listen to Spotify. Cause it's almost, it's really hard to turn off the little voice that says, what else could I be listening to right now?
Absolutely.
Like, what else am I...
That was a mental behavior that just exploded amongst my friends in the iPod era. It was like I, hanging out with my friends in the mid-2000s, I don't think I heard a full song for years.
Isn't that frustrating,
it was
too?
Like, mm-hmm. by the second chorus, they were done with
right?
it.
Right.
Yeah. Because, here's the button. Boom. Gone.
Right.
The next one. So you definitely don't get that when
roulette.
It comes to the vinyl thing.
And, well, and you may mention of it too, like almost writing to a vinyl, like you're writing an album. Mm-hmm. That mindset kind of went out the window with the
right.
with the presence of the iPod and all that.
And I think one thing that's often overlooked in the vinyl thing is the A side B side duality. Vinyl gives you an opportunity for two openers and two closers, which I think is
that's
you know
point.
In sequencing, the art of sequencing. There's a bit of that got lost in the digital and CD era too. So it's kind of cool. To
no,
get back
especially
in touch
the
with
CD
that,
era.
But.
I mean, how many albums from that era just have like 14 or 17 songs?
So many
because
songs.
Like, well, just toss it on just, at the end.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
We got the space.
You know, there's an element of like getting your money's worth for that. But on the other hand, it's like, does this record have to be 80 minutes long?
Right.
I kind of miss the fact. The one thing that CDs did have is they had that hidden song
yeah.
that they'd often play
yeah,
at
yeah,
the end,
yeah,
or they
totally.
Just wouldn't put it on the album, and then you'd be like, oh, song number 13. Yeah,
which
right.
didn't
favorite,
translate
right.
into the iPod era though, because
no.
then like you're
just
listening
next.
To a mix, and all of a sudden you're like,
right.
why is there 4 minutes of dead air
yeah,
in this
you
track?
You basically could not put Release by Pearl Jam in the middle of a mix because you'd have 4 minutes of silence
yep.
and then that. I think the other thing the other thing about vinyl, which is that it's significant.
You can have hidden tracks on vinyl, though.
You can.
Yes.
Jack White put one under the label of
what?
Of
how did I not know
hidden.
About
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
No kidding.
He put out a record that had...
Or even like Her Majesty. Like, it just it's not
yeah,
labeled,
yeah,
right?
They
just there at the end there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, I remember like when I was first listening to vinyls, that's kind of what I grew up on was Cat Steven records and mm-hmm. and you know, like Sgt. Pepper's. And I remember listening to the Beach Boys Pet Sounds, and I remember thinking the A side of this album is so great, and the B side just has Barbara Ann, and that's all it has. And I remember
yeah.
thinking like as like an 8 year old like. Oh, so this is like the best side of the album is the A, and this is the B.
This is the, yeah.
This is what makes
sure,
sense.
Sure.
What were some of the albums that you guys grew up listening to?
Oh, man, so many. My parents had a really great record collection that not only was really great, but also was already beat to hell. So
oh, yeah.
So we kids were able to just screw around with them and like do whatever. So like that was a really huge part of my childhood. So like pretty much all the Beatles stuff, although there were certain records that were missing. That my mom claims that my uncle stole. My uncle claims that her records were in too bad shape to even steal. Like so lots of Beatles, the first two Zeppelin records, a whole bunch of Grateful Dead, which is a huge part of my
mm-hmm.
family and everything. God, what else? Random stuff.
I mean, it's stereotypical,
and,
but it's Beatles for me all the way. My mom was always just a Beatles freak, and that's like the stuff that I came up on. I actually, but recently raided my parents. I mean, my parents had a pretty small, I mean... I'm sure your parents' collection is something like yours, where it's like takes up an entire wall.
No, it was more like one crate.
Okay,
but it was pretty much all bangers.
Nice.
And one
all killer, no
and
filler.
And one Styx record that I don't know why it was in there. Nobody figured it was in perfect condition.
I love it. What about you, Hari? What's going on?
Well, when I was in high school, I was really into classic rock. WCKG was huge.
Oh yeah,
yeah, big time.
And my dad had a collection of the Beatles albums. The Doors. I really got in The Doors. I know that there's mixed feelings in here about The Doors.
I have mixed feelings about The Doors.
No love for The Doors.
There's no
huh?
bassist.
I have minor
yeah,
love
yeah,
for
right?
The Doors.
As a bassist, how can you be a I mean, I'm a bassist too. I'm not a,
yep.
I'm not a Doors fan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd listen to a lot of classic rock was really, as far as vinyl goes.
Yeah, you know, I see, I mean, truth be told, Hari and I, we go back a little bit. Hari, I know that you're really into some classic rock, the Mamas and the Papas and everything like that. Like, what, were you finding more of that pop sensibility? Oh, should I not have said that?
Oh, man.
He was darting his eyes across the room at the moment.
For years, I've kept that.
I've just unearthed it. But let's talk a little bit about the sense of pop. I mean,
all the leaves are brown.
All the leaves are brown.
And the sky is gray.
And the sky is gray.
I went for a walk.
I went for a walk.
On a winter's day.
On a winter's day.
I'd be safe and warm.
I'd be safe and warm.
If I was in L.A.
If I was in L.A.
California dreaming.
California dreaming.
Freeman.
There it is.
On such a winter's day. I want to be Mama Cass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish we had some like applause there, right?
No, okay, fine. Hari can be Mama Cass.
You shouldn't want to be Mama Cass.
1, 2, 3.
In the darkness, I can feel it coming over me. Slow. The crazies are coming to life. Whoa, oh, oh, I can't take it anymore. 'Cause they're crazy, but maybe they're right.
So we are here with Packy, Brian, and Hari from I Fight Dragons. They have a show going on December 30th at Lincoln Hall. Guys, you know, it's a fantastic thing to be part of a Chicago music scene. What are some of your favorite venues to play in, and what made you kind of be drawn to the city, and what are the influences you kind of gained from living here in Chicago?
Sure. Well, we're all from Chicago as well. So in terms of venues, actually, so Lincoln Hall, which we're about to play, it's fairly new, but like, I mean, I'll let Packy speak from his closet as well, but it's just an amazing sort of, for the size venue it is, like, we've played there 4 times now, and it's just like, hands down, one of the coolest places to play.
It's a beautiful venue, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man. So well built, well sort of like conceived. I mean, we've always had a blast playing the Metro too. I feel like that's, you know, it's got so much history. That's like one of the ones that you.
That's like the dream gig.
Exactly.
Yeah. That you are like, oh, for once I play the Metro, so anything else is just icing.
Yeah, isn't it, Packy? We're going to teleport back to the 1980s to see what you have to think about playing here in Chicago.
What do you? I don't know what this Lincoln Hall is yet. You fellas are. Lincoln Hall is one of my favorite rooms to play, like hands down, because it to me, it sounds like a recording studio in all the right ways.
Yep.
It's so well tuned. They have so much care about the sound there, both from the standpoint of the building, the equipment, the people running it. They really take great care of you there. And I just, I always love playing Lincoln Hall, no matter what. That's a great spot. I like Shuba's a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
You know, one of my favorite rooms, I only played there once many years ago, but Space in Evanston. Beautiful sound. It's a definitely a room for people to listen to music in and not just screw around and talk and whatever. It's a very focused environment, which is really beautiful. I just saw a CD release show by a folk duo called Bittersweet Drive a couple weeks ago there, and it was just such a marvelous time. I just love that place. Great.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like that's one of the only venues where I will go just on any night, and I'm sure that whoever's playing there is going to be awesome. I've gone to see stuff there, but I've also had nights where it's like, hey, let's just go to Space. I'm sure someone great's playing.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
I was just there for The Moth.
Oh, nice. Wow. Nice.
Not band music related, but...
Not just the insect
auditory.
That you just want to
play. Yeah, he was there chasing insects.
You guys have really played a lot of places from many cities here in the United States, and you were on Warped Tour for a while. Can we hear some of those crazy stories from Warped Tour? Got any good ones?
Oh, man. Define crazy. You're talking to a nerd band here.
Well, it's funny. So the way we did... We've done Warped Tour twice. The first time we did it in 2012, we decided it would be a great idea to do it in a van and just drive ourselves. And it's really Warped Tour. You may not know, but it's routed to be done in like a tour bus. So It's all the stops are a good 8 hours from each other, and it's designed to be that you sleep overnight while somebody drives you from point A to point B. You wake up at 9 a.m. or whatever and start because it's like a big day long affair. So we were driving ourselves in a van, it was probably the craziest summer of my life in terms of just pure running on nothing but adrenaline. Warm Budweiser before the show.
Brutally hot that summer, right? So if you're on a tour bus, right, you just sit there and you can chill and
In 2014, we did it on a tour bus, by the way. So that's also we could be that was much, much easier.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for joining us here on the show. We wanted to see, you talked about dreams before, Hari, and I wanted to see, where do you see the band going in the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, it's such great music, and it's such a cool thing to be a part of the Chicago music scene, and now you guys have really entrenched yourself in it, playing on December 30th here at Lincoln Hall. Where do you guys see yourself in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so that's honestly a really big question. So it's funny, I think a lot of bands, if they've gone through the whole label sort of thing that we have, they're sort of just done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all still really like each other. We like playing music, and it's sort of we're trying to figure that out. What is that balance? But hopefully we've got some new ideas brewing for the new year in terms of how we can kind of keep releasing new music, because it's been 2 years since our last album, and we're mm-hmm. definitely, we've been writing and working on some new stuff, especially the back half of this year. Got a lot of new material and sort of thinking about what's the way to put that out. We were sort of talking off the air about some of the pluses and minuses of Kickstarter and sort of the joys and sorrows. And so I don't think Kickstarter is it necessarily for what we're thinking, but there's been a lot of sort of talk amongst us about how to create something that is, that you say 5 to 10 years, with an eye towards how do we set something up that lets us keep creating, and for people that want to hear our music to keep getting more of it, because we still we still love playing together, we still love making music, and it's just about kind of finding that avenue that really kind of lets us keep making that.
I love that. What about you, Hari?
Well, I'd say after that December 30th show at Lincoln Hall.
There it is.
Bing, bing, bing. Boing.
Just write, record, do gigs. We love it. We all get along great, which is one really awesome thing about just circling back to the touring really quick, is that we all come from vastly different backgrounds musically. But yet, when we go on tour, we click. We work together really well. I can see this just going until... I die.
I was going to say.
Bleep end to that.
Yikes.
Jeez.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but that got dark. In your vision, did one, like, who, did someone killing you, or?
We're all going to die.
Yeah. Well, like, are you just assuming you're going first?
Well, man, now you guys got me thinking about this.
It's got heavy.
Oh man. Well, to lighten up, Packy, what about you, my friend?
You know, just trying to stay alive and
yes.
Keep our heads above water.
Packy, we should hang out more often.
keep a firm grip on these heroin addictions we've all got.
Yeah, sure. Gotta keep those in check.
Yeah. So I think we're in an interesting spot, and I think it's a cool spot because we're finding out how we can continue to create on our own terms. And we have a good niche thing. We've got a family of support that is ready to ride with us, whatever we used to do. And
which is kind of amazing. Like, that's a, we
just awesome.
Pinch ourselves
awesome.
A little bit that, like, there's people that actually, you know, want to listen to music we make, which is kind of a,
yeah,
so, it's still a crazy thing. You know, I feel like there's, you can't get too jaded about that.
Right.
So, you know, guys, we can't thank you enough for joining us here at the Sound Session Studio. Go and check them out.
Try it.
Thank you guys so very much. Stay alive.
That's not
because
enough.
Because we want to hear you guys
thank
for
us
years.
Enough.
You
were right.
I don't feel satisfied.
Yeah. Oh, man. As the cops come in, Hari's ambulance is joining us right now through the WGN radio studios. Guys, December 30th, make sure you go and check them out. Where can we find you guys online?
iFiDragons.com. Mm-hmm. And pretty much all of our social handles are iFiDragons or I Fight Dragons Rock, in the case of YouTube, I think.
Somebody else took I Fight Dragons, right?
Yeah, I think it was, like, for whatever reason, there was, like, the weird land grab at the moment, and we got, like, a bunch of them, but then for whatever reason, YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, I Fight Dragons Rock as well.
Yeah, okay. That squatter's not getting we as a band, we resolved to not give him anything.
Yeah.
Unless we gave him something.
No, I don't think we gave him anything.
Well, be sure to go to the show. Give them all a bunch of hugs. Tell Hari that he is alive and well and just going to be keep rocking through the years. Guys,
that's
really
weeks away. We don't want to make any promises.
Just hold your horses.
We really can't thank you enough. Thanks again, guys. And thanks for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
our
for having
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you so much.
I can't thank you enough.